Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would look with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. This is a tremendous text of the Bible, and this is something that has been quoted and continues to be quoted time and time again, verse 3. But I think it is the message that God has for us today, especially here in our Prayer and Fasting Awareness Month. Prayer and Fasting Awareness Month. Jeremiah chapter 33. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. I'm going to read the first three verses here of chapter 33. The Bible says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you this morning, we again, Lord, thank you for this privilege it is to be in church. Thank you for the health and the opportunity that you made available to all that are here that's taken advantage of that. Thank you for what we've already received in our Sunday morning Sunday school and then in our worship service thus far in the singing of thy praises. But now, Father, as we get into the preaching time, I know, God, that you work through the preaching of thy word, and I know that you have something for each and every one of us here today. I just pray, God, that each one of us would focus on whatever that might be, that we would be open to it, and we would be ready to receive it. I just pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The great prophet Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, is in prison, and as he's in prison, he's in need of God's help. We know this because we find that God comes to Jeremiah in a time of need. Jeremiah had been faithful just to preach the very words of God. God revealed to Jeremiah as one of his prophets what was going to happen to Judah. He was to tell Judah that they were going to be taken into captivity and they would be overcome by the Babylonians as a judgment from God. The king did not like to hear that. He did not want to hear that. He did not like what Jeremiah had been preaching. And so we find that the king had Jeremiah imprisoned. In chapter 32 and verse 2 and 3, it says this, "For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah," this is the reason, "for Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, Wherefore dost thou prophesy? And say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it." Jeremiah was just preaching what was going to come to pass. And the king realizes after he puts Jeremiah in prison that this is exactly what is going to come to pass. But Jeremiah, just being faithful to the Lord, had been preaching the word of God. And we find that God actually comes to Jeremiah two different times while he was in prison. The first time in chapter 32 and verse 26, the Bible says this, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, am I the Lord? Am I the Lord, the God of all flesh? Is there anything too hard for me?" So God had come to Jeremiah here in chapter 32, and then what we've just read in chapter 33, once again, he comes to Jeremiah while Jeremiah is in prison. Now, from understanding what God has revealed to Jeremiah, we don't know exactly how shaken he was over this and what kind of battles he was battling, but we know that he was shaken and he was battling, for he had need of God's help. And as God's servant, God was there to minister to him and give him grace to help in his time of need. And so God presents two things to Jeremiah that he needed to hear for God's help. For God's help. Two things. The first thing, and I'll be preaching on this morning, know who I am. If you want God's help, you have to know who God is. You have to believe who God is. And then the second thing, call unto me. Prayer. You got to use what God has given to us, that He designed for us. Prayer. Can I tell you, there's so many blessings associated with prayer that most Christians never learn. I've had so many in this church say, "Preacher, I've been saved all my life, all these many years, been in different churches, or whatever. I've never been taught about fasting." It's been available to you from the very beginning. Once you understand that you have been given the tool of prayer by an almighty creator God, He wants you to also know that there is an extension to prayer. And an extension to prayer is fasting. There's so many blessings associated with prayer. Yeah. But before we can tap into them, we have to do what God tells Jeremiah to do first of all, and that is have faith. There's so many verses I could take you to and so many passages, Old Testament, New Testament, that helps us to understand that prayer has to be associated with faith. Without faith, you have no prayer life. If you have little faith, you have a little prayer life. If you have greater faith, you have a greater prayer life. And if you have a greater prayer life, you have more of what God has for us that is associated with prayer. So the first thing, when God comes to Jeremiah, He wants him to know who God is. In verse 2, He says, "Jeremiah, do you realize who I am? I'm the one who is addressing you. I am a creator God." In verse 2, He says, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker." Now, while Jeremiah is yet shut up, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah, and He says, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof." The maker of what? The maker of everything. And not only has God made it, the Bible says, and the Lord that formed it. And not only did He make it and formed it, He to establish it. The Lord is His name. So what He's telling Jeremiah, He says, "Jeremiah, realize, wait a minute, I've come to you, you're in prison, I know you're in help, I know you've been doing the right thing, and you're in need right now, and so what I'm coming to you to realize is, understand who I am. I'm the creator of all things. I've formed everything. I have a purpose for it. I've established it for a reason. There is a method to what I am doing. There is a purpose to what I have created. There is a purpose to whatever I allow to happen." Jeremiah, before you can have the power in prayer and call unto me, you have to have faith to know who I am. Amen. The key here in both these passages, when in chapter 32, when he comes to him, is "then came the word of the Lord." Then came the word of the Lord. In verse 26 in chapter 32, "Behold," and this is what God says, "I am the Lord, the God of all flesh." Jeremiah, listen to me. I'm coming to you. You have to have belief. You have to have faith that who I am. And then he says, "Is there anything too hard for me?" Do you believe that? Yeah. And I'm saying to Lighthouse Baptist Church here this morning, before you can experience the blessings of prayer, the true blessings of prayer, before you can receive that which God has associated with our praying, do you know who you're praying to? Do you have faith and believe that God is who He says He is? Who does He say He is? He's the creator. Amen. Do you have faith to understand that there's nothing too hard for God? Can I tell you what God gave to Jeremiah is the same thing that Jesus Christ has given to us today. John chapter 1, look over there, New Testament. Jesus coming into this world. The Gospels reveal the life of Christ, who he is, what he came to accomplish. John chapter 1, verse 1. God's revealing this to the New Testament church. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Now it's going to get down to telling us the Word is Jesus Christ, but he's describing that, and he says the Word was God, and all things were made by him. Who? Him. Jesus Christ. He is God. As God came to Jeremiah to be able to give him the help that Jeremiah needed, we find that God is coming to us by way of his word, telling us, realize who I am. Realize who Jesus Christ is, who he's always been. Not only was he there in the creation of all things, he was the one doing the creating. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. When he came, the people didn't receive him as he wanted them to receive him. His own people that he came into, God's chosen, the Jews. The Bible says in verse 11, he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, that's the Gentiles, that's you and I. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And this word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, God designed the way that he would communicate with man in the Old Testament. And can I tell you, it was by faith. Now, he had a different establishment. The New Testament church was not there, although it was within the pages of the Old Testament are the New Testament truths. It was a mystery in the Old Testament. But he had the tabernacle, and he had the law set up, and he had the prophets set up as those that would come and actually speak the very words of God when they didn't have the written down word of God as we have it today. He would have angels appear unto man. God would take them up in a vision, and God would reveal things. So it was a different dispensation of time. But God designed the way that he would communicate with man then, and God has designed how he will communicate with man today. For everyone, for every man, woman, and child who's ever walked the face of the earth in every dispensation of time, faith has been the key. Faith in knowing who God is was and is a must. If you would go to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, the faith chapter, and how it reveals that all of these had faith in God and they were able to accomplish these great and mighty things because they simply had faith in God and they called upon God. They used what God had given to them to be able to communicate with him. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Jeremiah, do you know who it is that's talking to you? Do you know who it is that's come to you? Do you believe that there's nothing that I cannot do? There's nothing too hard for me. Yeah. Faith is the main condition on which all divine power rests. So this morning, I don't know what kind of help you might need. But before you can receive the help associated with God's plan for prayer, do you have faith? Do you believe? If you truly believe in God, then you would have started searching out God's plan for salvation. What must I do to be saved? And as you sought after the Lord, the Bible says that God is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek Him. And you sought after the truth and you realize that God has preserved His word for us today. And God uses and works through the preaching of His word today. And you have sought after by reading the Bible. You have sought after by coming to hear the words of God preached. And as you have sought after God, by faith you believe that there is a God, first of all. By faith, you believe that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that Jesus Christ came some 2,000 years ago, that Jesus Christ walked to the face of this earth to establish the church and to establish a model for Christianity, that He went to the cross of Calvary and there on the cross of Calvary paid a sin debt that you owe and I owe and everybody owes, and a debt that we could not pay. Jesus paid it for us. He paid it in full. He died and was in the grave for 3 days. And on the third day, He resurrected from the grave to prove that what He taught us was true, that He was the very Son of God. And what He offers to us is everlasting life. Do you have faith? It begins with receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And as you receive Him as your Savior, then you start learning about who God is. And the more you understand about God, the more faith you'll have in calling unto Him. So first of all, know who I am. Once you have faith in who God is, then He tells him the second thing that is very important, to find that help. Call unto me. It's God's design for us to call. If you call in faith, He'll answer. Call unto me and I will answer thee. And I'll show you some great and mighty things. First of all, it's faith. Once you have the faith to know who God is, you realize there's nothing that God cannot do. No matter what your need is, listen to me, it's not more than what God can handle. And once you have faith to understand that, then you look to God and you take advantage of what God designed to bring help to us, and that is just simply call. Not only is this God's design for us today, Jesus modeled it for us. If you'll read the first four books of the New Testament, you'll read the life of Christ. And you'll find that in every event in His public ministry, He was seen praying. Now, He was God. He was God manifest in the flesh. Why would He have to pray? He was modeling for us Christianity. He was setting an example for us to follow after. There was a couple different times that He would pray, and He actually even said, Father, not that I need to pray out loud, not that I question You hearing me, but for those around me to realize that You hear me. Amen. He understood the reason He was here. One of the reasons He was here in establishing this New Testament church was also to model Christianity. And as far as His modeling Christianity, not only did He give us a model prayer, not that we are to recite over and over again, but it was a model to how we are to pray to God. He lived it. And in every event of His public ministry, you'll find Jesus modeling the need to pray. Wow. Not only did He model the need to pray, but often He would fast and pray. Look with me to Luke in chapter 6. Luke in chapter 6 and verse 12. Fasting is not only fasting of food. Fasting is giving up the physical for the spiritual. giving up the physical to focus on the spiritual. And as we focus on the spiritual, we're more apt to receive that of the spiritual. So every time that you are aware of whatever it is that you're fasting, then you focus on why you're fasting and the reason you're giving up a physical, whatever it might be, is for a spiritual purpose, and you focus on that purpose, and it brings God into your mind, into your thoughts. Luke in chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says here, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Now they around him realized Jesus went up to a mountain, and somehow they was able to write down because they realized that he went up to a mountain that he might pray all night long. What does that mean? He fasted sleep. You know, when you pray all night long and you're really overload with a burden or something's going on in your heart and your mind, and you're asking God and you're wanting God to work in your life, and you've prayed and now God's led you, said you need to do more than that. You need to pray and fast. And sometimes we need to get into a prayer closet and not come out of it until God has answered or God has given you a peace about whatever it is that you're praying about. And getting into that prayer closet sometimes mean I'm going to fast sleep. As Jesus modeled prayer, he modeled it by fasting sleep all night long so his disciples would see sometimes you need to not only pray, but you need to fast and pray. Calling on God through prayer is designed by God to help us. Now, it helps more than what most even realize. The first way that it helps us, it connects us to the spiritual. Matthew chapter 6, look there with me. I want you to see this. It's a very powerful truth. Matthew chapter 6, what is this? This is the model prayer. And there's so much we can learn from the model prayer, but we're not going to get into all of that this morning. But what I want you to see is calling on God through prayer is designed to help. The first thing that it does, it connects us to the spiritual, or if you will, the very abode of God, heaven. Heaven. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, as Jesus is going to teach this model prayer, he says, after this manner, this is a model for you to pray. This is what you have to need to understand about prayer. He says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, look, which are in heaven. That means that prayer allows me to communicate with God. So as I communicate with God, it allows me to connect with the spiritual. Now, Satan has tempted man with this and tried to make man think that you can go to some kind of a seer or some kind of a fortune teller or some kind of a mystery type of a person and you can actually speak to someone who has died. Which is deception and lies. But God, who cannot lie, says, I've designed prayer for you to help you. And the first thing that it does for you, it allows you to connect with the spiritual. Because you're praying to the Father, which is in the abode of God. Heaven. It's still somewhat weird to me when I can get on the phone and I can call missionaries around the world. When I call the Lindsays and I'm sitting there talking to Marcos and it's like he's next door. And I'm talking to him and I think, you know, this is kind of strange, Marcos. I know you're in Peru, but it sounds like you're in the next room. And so when I get on the phone allows me to communicate with somebody, Marcos, one of our missionaries who's in Peru. And so it actually connects me to Peru. If you call somebody in Germany, it allows you to connect with Germany. If you call somebody that lives in Russia, it allows you to connect with Russia. All through a phone. And we see that, and we go, well, that's normal anymore. God designed a tool by which if we use it, as God has told us to use it through faith, when you pray to God, it connects you with the very abode of God, which is heaven. You can get connected to heaven anytime you want if you're saved. If you have faith, at any moment in your life, as a born-again believer, God has given you a tool that He designed to help you. And if you understand this tool, you understand what it does for you, and you get alone and just you and God, listen to me, you can leave this world and you can be in touch with the spiritual world. With no mystic type of a deception involved. It'll help you. It'll help you. As I think back over my Christian life, there's been many times I felt helpless. Facing the possible death of our children when going through different things, facing the deaths of others, and facing some of all these. I could give you example after example. The one thing for the last 35 years as I've been in ministry, the one thing that has helped me the most is to understand the power of prayer. Amen. And to realize there's something that I can do when I'm facing things that there's seemingly nothing that can be done. I can get connected to the very abode of God. Amen. Takes me into a spiritual realm of things that I can't get to any other way. You can't get there any other way. If you have faith to believe, and you do believe, there's nothing too hard for God, then no matter what it is that you're facing in life, if you'll understand God says, I designed this to help you, take advantage of it, call unto me. Because when you come to me, when you look to call unto me, you're putting yourself in a spiritual place. Amen. And you'll connect with a God who can intervene and do that which you might think to be the impossible. Yeah. Jeremiah, I know you're hurting in prison right now. I know you're weeping. You're the weeping prophet, and you're weeping over Israel, and you're weeping over all these different things. Jeremiah, do you know who I am? Do you believe me to be a creator God? Do you believe there's anything too hard for me? If you do, call to me. It'll put you in connection to the very abode of God. Not only are we to call on Him, how it helps us, it connects us to the spiritual, it affects our mental well-being. It will affect your mental well-being. You ever felt like that? My mind is scattered. It pains me to have to think about a situation. You know what you can do to find help? Take advantage of God's design. Philippians in chapter 4. Philippians in chapter 4. This is real stuff. Philippians in chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Look what it says here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Because you can take everything to God. Can I tell you that nothing is too small to take to God? God is very much interested in the everyday affairs of your life. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That supplication includes, if you will, fasting from time to time. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. What are you doing there? Just asking. What are you doing? You're calling. What will it do for you? Verse 7. And the what? Peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Means you don't have to understand it all. Just take advantage of it. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. While in communication with God, if I truly understand that I am connected to the spiritual, to the very abode of God, I will desire right thinking. And when I desire right thinking and I get alone with God, now that I understand what I'm doing now, I have connected with the spiritual. I have connected with the very abode of God. My focus is on Him. Knowing who He is, part of what's going on now in my mind and my heart is God. Not my will, but Thy will be done. Amen. One of the greatest things that'll bring your mind peace is turning it over to God. Yeah. For God, You know more than I know. You can do more than I can do. Once you understand that you have connected with the spiritual, you are connected and now you're in the presence of God, you're in the abode of God, and you've just turned it all over to Him. If you have faith to believe that, if you have faith to know this is what God designed, and God's design for prayer is to help us. Amen. And when I do this, that's the way you come out of your prayer closet. That's the way you get up off your knees. Now, if you take it off the altar and take it up with you, you're not going to have that peace. But if you're truly able to turn it over to God and say, God, not my will, Thy will be done. Help me to have the wisdom to know my part in this. When you get off your knees, when you come out of your prayer closet, I guarantee you there'll be a peace. It goes beyond human understanding, no matter what the circumstances. Not only that, not only does it connect us to the spiritual, not only does it affect us mentally, our mental well-being, it affects our physical health. Our physical health. Do you know what stress and worry does to your physical health? You talk to any doctor, they'll blame whatever your problem's on stress. Talk to Paul, he'll say, you're rotten teeth. Stress. Maybe he'll add on to too many sweets and not brushing your teeth and all that, but stress. It's just something, because they know that stress affects everything in our lives. It not only affects us mentally, it will affect us physically. Turn over to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. I don't know that there would have been a more stressful situation than what we find Stephen in. Stephen, as Jeremiah, was just preaching the truth. People didn't want to hear it. Because they didn't want to hear it, they decided to kill him, stone him to death. Now you're facing an angry crowd. And they're all looking at you, and they all have big stones in their hands. And they're getting ready, and they start hurling those stones at you. I think that might qualify for physical pain. I think that might qualify for something that would cause us physical or health problems. Acts 7:59. This is what was going on with Stephen. And they stoned Stephen. What was his greatest help? Calling upon God. Wait a minute. You mean even when I'm going through the stress of being stoned, even though I'm going through the stress of a shadow of death, I'm getting ready to die? There's no more important thing, nothing better that you can do than what God told Jeremiah. If you know me to be who I am, call unto me. Stephen, being stoned, physical pain beyond what you can imagine. And what he did? Calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, what mental strength. Lay not this sin to their charge. What mental peace. The very same ones that were causing your pain, inflicting all of this turmoil on your life, and you have a peace of mind enough to say, God, forgive them. That's something to have that kind of thought life. But not only that, look what he says. And when he said, and when he had said this, he fell asleep. He was able to just shut out the pain. He was able to shut out everything because he had already connected with heaven. He had already connected to the abode of God. It affected him spiritually, it affected him mentally, and physically, all the pain went away. And he just fell asleep. From what? Calling on him. Call unto me. God's design is for us to pray and then wait on him to answer. Wait on his timing. That's not for you to decide. That's why I love Jennifer's song. If you listen to that, it goes hand in hand with this message. God's design is for us to pray and then wait on him to answer. The Apostle Paul had a physical infirmity that he said in 2 Corinthians 12:8 that he prayed three times. Paul spent three seasons of praying for God to heal his infirmity. After the first prayer, he got up knowing that God heard his prayer, but didn't expect God to heal him immediately. He would have been rejoicing if he had it. But he prayed for God to heal him, I believe heal his infirmity, his sight. After a while, his sight had not gotten any better. And so he goes back into another season of prayer and he prays, God, would you please heal my eyes? He didn't have peace about living with this infirmity at this point. And so he takes it to another season of prayer. He gets up, confident that God heard his prayer. He goes on. He comes back a third time because he had not been healed of his infirmity. And he prays a third season of prayer. And this third season of prayer, after he had prayed as God wanted him to pray, God has a reason for his delay. God has a reason for many times what God wants you to do is to pray more often. He might delay his answer so that you will be on your knees more often. That you will go to your prayer closet more often. But on the third prayer, God said, my answer to your prayer is grace. not healing, but grace. And Paul got up out of that time knowing that was God's answer to his prayer and rejoiced in the Lord. God wants us to keep praying until we have the peace of the answer, and that is waiting. Isaiah 40, 31, I'm closing right here, but let me read this to you. Just let me read it to you. Isaiah chapter 40, you know the verse. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 says this: "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Paul had grace. He still had the infirmity, but now he has the peace of God that strengthened him in the midst of his infirmity. No amount of prayer and fasting will get God to work opposite his will for your life. Don't think that just because I'm praying and fasting, I'm going to fast for all week. I'm not going to have anything to eat. I'm not going to have anything. I'm not going to go to bed. I'm going to stay up until God answers my prayer. You might die before he answers it the way you want him to answer it. Because if it's not in the will of God, no amount of prayer and fasting will get God to work opposite his will. But if you are praying and fasting and willing to receive God's answer, it could be grace. Amen. To be able to handle whatever it is that God has you going through. And can I tell you, that will bring you a peace of mind. And it will help your health. That's what Isaiah says. But they that wait, that's not doing anything. That's praying and then continuing to serve the Lord. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Jeremiah needed what God gave to him. And so do we. What God gave to him is, Jeremiah, first of all, do you have faith? You know who I am? Is there anything too hard for me? Once you know who I am, call unto me. How much time did you spend in prayer this last week? You can connect with heaven. You can have help with whatever is going on in your mind. You can have help with whatever kind of physical infirmities you're living with right now. The amount of time you spend in prayer reveals how much faith you have in God, especially in time of need. Maybe this morning you need to make sure of your faith in God, because greater faith equals more time connecting with the spiritual and the very abode of God. We need it. Have faith, and then simply use your faith to call upon the Lord. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.